Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So one day when I was in college, I was sitting in the classroom. I think it was some kind of a, I know what it was. I can't remember the name. It was some kind of business leadership management something. It's almost comical now to think of me ever pursuing that direction, but like I'm going to manage or lead something. But anyway, the class starts, the professor walks in, he's got a sack full of something, and he says, "Everybody arrange your desks in groups of five. Business professors love to have you in groups of five." So that's what we did, and then he walks around to each group, and in the middle of each group, he dumps part of his mystery sack, which turned out to contain Legos, like blocks, and he says, "Each group's assignment is to build a house out of the Legos. And before you do that, spend like the first 5 or 10 minutes dividing up roles. Who's going to do what?" Well, this would have gone a whole lot better, I think, if we were in kindergarten, honestly. Then everybody just wants to play with the blocks. But we're not. We're in business class. So immediately one of the guys in my group says, "I'll be the president." And then before anybody else could react, the next guy said, "I'll be vice president." And then there's a CFO. And then there's two guys, me and one other guy. And I don't know if it's because he just liked playing with blocks or if he looked at me and thought, he's not going to be able to build a house. He volunteered to build a house. So I think, honestly, I don't remember, but I don't think I even wound up with a job. Which is the best thing, because then it freed me up to kind of look around at what all the other groups are doing. And it was the same thing we did. Every table in the room, it's probably like 30 of us, so we're talking about like 6 groups of 5. All 6 groups have one guy building a house. And 4 other guys kind of staring off. All right, so we're in Exodus 18 this morning. The last several chapters, God has been really busy. I mean, you know, all that he did in Egypt with the plagues, and then he got everybody out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea, and then he's provided water and then food and then water again. And then Amalek came and attacked, and you know, God gives Israel victory over the Amalekites. Now, today's text, there's still a lot happening, but it looks at first like Moses is the one who's really busy. Before we go into Moses for today, though, we've got to reintroduce ourselves to Moses' father-in-law. You may not remember this guy. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is a priest of Midian. And Moses wound up meeting his daughters and him back when he fled to Midian and was watching sheep. And Jethro gave Moses one of his daughters to be his wife. But then Moses had, you know, a pretty hectic schedule for a while there, so the wife and their 2 sons were back living with Jethro while Moses was doing what he's doing. But then word made it to Jethro about what all had happened, and so, you know, what God had done for the Israelites. So he took his daughter Zipporah, Moses' wife, and their 2 sons, and he travels to the mountain of God where Moses and the Israelites are to reunite the family. So that's what happens at the beginning of chapter 18 that we're skipping over today. Really, what you need to know about all that is that Jethro seems to be this kind of an ideal, like a model wise man here, and he converts to faith in Yahweh. So his story really works in the way that you hope all stories work for people outside the faith, right? He hears what Yahweh has done, and then when he hears, he comes. So God has helped this one specific community, and Jethro goes to that community that he's heard about. And he's not an Israelite, he's a Midianite, But he hears the truth, he responds to the truth, he goes. And Moses does what Moses is supposed to do. He testifies. Moses bears witness to Jethro, tells Jethro more about who Yahweh is, what God has done. And then Jethro responds again. And again, he responds correctly. Just a chain of right answers. He confesses faith in Yahweh above all the other gods. He praises Yahweh. He offers sacrifice to Yahweh. And then they all celebrate with a festive meal. So this sounds like really kind of beyond obvious, I guess. But it is. It's a big deal in the Bible when somebody hears the truth, doesn't resist but believes, responds in thanks and praise and celebration. That's when the angels rejoice in heaven, right? And it happens right here. So Jethro so far has done everything right. He's proven himself to be a good, wise man. The only thing that might be a slight warning sign, there could be something off that I can see here, is that Moses has apparently not made any effort to be with his wife and sons, right? So, like, not only did he not go get them, he didn't even send for them. But Jethro takes all the initiative. And so you might say, well, Moses has had a lot on his plate. This is very true, but just keep that in your mind for a little while. See if it connects. So the next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes of God and His laws." Ancient Israel is a theocracy. No real distinction between the civil and religious realms. Whichever the case, you're trying to decide a civil dispute or a religious one, you're still seeking advice from the man of God who's in contact with God, right? God's king over both realms. Moses is his spokesman and representative, so when people have some sort of disagreement, a dispute, they need to know how God desires them to settle the dispute. So, one thing we can learn right away from that is that redemption, freedom from bondage, doesn't necessarily mean freedom from disputes, arguments, responsibilities. We're still in a sinful world, and life goes on, and so Moses is trying to be the judge in every case of one person aggravating another person in a community of several hundred thousand people. So that takes a lot of time. And Moses also had other things that he should be doing. He's not only God's representative to all Israel, he's also a husband and father, not to mention just, a human being who can't work all day, every day. And wise and faithful Jethro sees this. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." Well, that's a pretty bold thing to say. What you are doing is not good. Even though Moses is helping people, and he's making sure that justice is served in accordance with God's will. He's discerning and speaking God's word to God's people. Well, then this Midianite convert rebukes Moses for working too hard. He says, "You and the people with you, are not other judges. It's the people standing around waiting for Moses to get to them all day to hear their case. Even they're going to be worn out from this." And Jethro's right. You can't administer God's justice if you've forgotten who God is. That's what's happening. Yahweh is the God of freedom and Sabbath. not the God of bondage and slavery. And by working the way that he's working, Moses has basically put himself back in Egypt. So he's spending all his time asking God what to do about other people. Apparently he hasn't mentioned anything to God about himself. And so along comes Jethro. Jethro just heard the good news of God's liberating work, and then he turns around and sees Moses making himself a slave again. And so he speaks out, "This is not good. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God, bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do." Usually you expect God to be the one saying, "Obey my voice." But now Jethro becomes God's messenger. He says to Moses, "You know, listen, you're still going to have the same job, and you're still going to do it. And moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times." So yeah, same job, but you're also going to delegate some of it. You can share it with other people. You aren't the only good and wise man around. So look and find some of those other good and wise men and let go of some of what you've been controlling. Let them in on it. Let them help you. Now, he didn't say, just ask for volunteers who'd like to be a judge. Right? I'll take the first 1,000 names. No, you don't just make anybody a judge. You have to narrow the pool. There's criteria. You know, you've got to be able men, God-fearing men, who you can trust and can't be bought. So when you find a bunch of people like that, then sign them up and accept their help. Every great matter they bring to you, they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You'll be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So you think that this is what's more in line with the will of the God that you've been telling me about than the way that you're acting. Right? So you still be, you know, the chief justice or whatever. You're the head of all the judges. When there's something really big or difficult or important, well, you still decide those cases, but also trust God to work through other people too and not just you. So Moses, your printed text ends there. I'm going to keep going a couple more verses here. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Same thing Jethro did. So just like Jethro heard the truth, listened, responded, now Moses does the same thing. He listened to Jethro, recognized the wisdom of what he was saying. He didn't argue. He just did what Jethro said to do. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves, which is just basically almost word for word what Jethro told them to do in the first place. And then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. That's where we'll stop. So Jethro knew that his point had been made, and he's really probably not motivated only by his insight into the word and will of God, but also just plain loving concern for daughter and grandsons, right? I mean, Jethro, I would think, that, you know, the text doesn't flat out say it, but it does mention Zipporah and the sons right before this. So it makes sense to think, in addition to the contradiction between Moses' life and Moses' testimony, Jethro recognizes that his daughter and grandchildren need a husband and father. But now he's made his point. He can tell Moses took it. Jethro trusts that all's well, and he goes home at peace, just like the people who have had their cases settled get to go home in peace. So I think there's a lot of good food for thought here in this case, in this text. You know, so one thing to notice is You get a reminder here that the mission of God, even in the Old Testament, does extend beyond Israel. So it's not in the Old Testament God saves Israel, in the New Testament He saves everybody else. The promise to Abraham was that through his offspring, God would save all of, bless all the families of the earth. It always goes through Israel, but sometimes it spills over Israel. So back when Israel left Egypt, it said they left with a mixed multitude, meaning some Egyptians decided to go with them. But in this case, we actually have an individual concrete example of a foreigner, a Midianite, converting to faith in Yahweh. So the promise is still on. After all the grumbling and everything else, God is still at work keeping His promise to Abraham. Another thing is Jethro, even though he's a foreigner, had this kind of common sense wisdom about him. Excuse me. So he's got an openness to and a perception of the truth that eventually we find out it's not just only common sense, but it aligns with the will of God. All wisdom is God's wisdom, even if, you know, it comes from a Midianite who literally just showed up and converted yesterday. And then finally, kind of related to that point, is that here comes this Midianite who's been serving the wrong God all his life, but he's open. And when he hears what's true, and then he believes it and he proves himself to be a wise man. And I think we're supposed to see that if truth and wisdom can come from Him, then why has Moses not considered that he could find other faithful and wise men in Israel who he could trust to administer justice in at least like petty disputes between Israelites? I mean, why does he seem not to inquire of God about God's will for him, for Moses himself? Why does he seem to believe that the God of the Sabbath rest and of freedom somehow excludes Moses from that rest and freedom? Moses has been so busy doing everything that he's forgotten about his own wife, his own kids, and he's even kind of lost himself. I mean, he didn't even think to pray for himself. This is not good, as the wise man said. I mean, even God chooses to delegate some things sometimes, and not always to, you know, the most likely people. For instance, I've been authorized to stand here this morning and tell you the truth. And the truth is this, that yes, there is still work to be done in this life, and there always will be until the end. But there is more than that. There is more than work to be done in this life. There is family, and there is prayer, and there is rest. And the one most important job has already been accomplished by the only one who could accomplish it, and it was not you. Jesus has died and risen to bring peace and freedom and Sabbath to the whole world. He's called me to speak that in His stead this morning. Tell you that your sins are forgiven and your status before God does not depend on how productive you are. And the world will keep right on spinning if you don't make every decision and complete every task. So, eventually our CFO, I think it was the CFO, somebody got bored and picked up a Lego and stuck it on the house. And something weird happened, and at least in my point of view. As soon as he did that, our builder said, "What are you doing?" And the CFO says, "Well, I'm helping you." And the builder said, "That's not how I was going to do it." Basically, like, hands off my project, you corporate suit. I would have thought he'd be happy, you know. I felt kind of bad, really, the whole class just sitting there. But the idea of giving up control of a handful of blocks was not something the builder was willing to entertain. Just a wild reversal of what I thought was actually. I thought, you know, the really controlling people would be the ones who quickly demanded to be the president, vice president. The builder would be happy that somebody else was pitching in. I was totally wrong. And then as I look back around the room, most of the presidents and vice presidents were talking to the other presidents and vice presidents. So they're not even paying any attention to what their house looks like, what the builders are doing. But the builder needed control. And I think probably I never really knew the point of the project. I'm guessing it was the professor knew it was going to go this way. And he was trying to teach us not to be too top-heavy in whatever organization we wound up in. But what I really took away from it was that the people who are actually doing the work can sometimes get so wrapped up in the work that they get to a point where nothing else matters. They can't see anything else. They can't even accept any help. You know, I'm the one doing this job. I'm the one raising this child. I'm the one teaching this class. I'm the one building this house. I'm the one running this church. I'm the one doing this project. And even if it takes me away from all the other things God has given me that are just as important, I'm doing this and I don't need or want any input, advice, or help or assistance from someone like you. And what God is, at least part of what He's teaching us this morning, is that even if your job is really important, and let's not lose perspective. The odds that in the course of human history, Moses' job turns out to be less important than yours or mine, I'll be pretty shocked. So even if you think, you know, what you're doing is just extremely important, even if you think you just... nothing can work out right without you in the middle of it running it. God is saying, yes, it can. You narrow the pool. You can choose people, the right sort of people. You go, you know, you're going to go take food to a homeless shelter. That's great. Do that. If you're going to go to a homeless shelter to find your next babysitter, well, but that's not what God is saying here. So you got to find the, have the right people. But when you do, you not only can, but sometimes you should or even have to accept help. Take advice. Listen to other people. Let them have some of the Legos. Let them build part of the house so you can enjoy the other people and the things that God has given you and called you to do so that, you know, you can remember that you have a family. You can remember to pray for yourself and to self-reflect, and you can eventually rest. You know, all the blocks really belong to Jesus anyway, and He's already building a mansion, and He's being patient by letting us make little additions here and there or whatever. But when you think of it that way, then the more of the house He builds, the better off it's all going to turn out anyway. And if He trusts other people to add a little bit here and there, then you can too. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.